Let's turn to Matthew 13. All right, Matthew chapter 13. And let's stand as we prepare ourselves to receive the word of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. Let's read the passage, and then after that, we'll hear the word of God. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, until we finish at verse number 9. Okay, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Verse 2. Okay, once again, that verse tells us that the congregation stood up, the preacher sat down. And he, referring to Jesus, spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4.
And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up.
Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8.
But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold.
Let's read verse 9 together. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we quieten our hearts before you now. Lord, it is for you to use your word right now to teach us. We know it's your Holy Spirit that will teach us. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts to your word. Lord, your word is very plain. But Lord, as we are going to see, who will receive, who will not, will be an important determination, or rather an important criteria as to the heart of our Christian life. Heavenly Father, we want to put you first in everything that we do, and we pray. This morning, as we look at your word, our hearts will be turned towards you. Help us to put all distractions aside. Help us to put all our wishes aside. Help us to put even our tiredness aside. And Father, I pray that you will strengthen our soul with your word today. And we'll thank you. We commit this hour into your hands. We pray that everyone, Lord, whom thou want to speak to, will receive your word from your word. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So in Matthew chapter 13... This is a very, very important passage. If you look at the trend of Jesus' preaching, from chapter 13 onwards, Jesus began to use parables, which he had never in the beginning of his ministry. And there's a particular reason for that. All right, parables, what is the meaning of parables? Parables are earthly stories with heavenly meaning. Okay, Jesus uses earthly stories that everyone knows about, in order to teach them truth from about the kingdom of God. And I just want to start off by saying, I know there's a lot of controversy about, well, this one refers to Christian, non-Christian. According to the scriptures in Matthew 13, the passage has no clear indication whether it is for a Christian or not a Christian. The Lord Jesus was talking about the beginning of the kingdom of God, referring to the whole area of Christianity, whole area of how God's kingdom is going to grow. Okay? He uses the parables of the kingdom of God, and he says that the whole kingdom of God begins with the seed, with the sowing of the seed. And he teaches the way how the kingdom will grow in this world. But it all starts with the sowing of the seed, which is the word of God. Okay? Now I'm going to apply that quickly right now. If you are not a Christian, then it is God's will for you to hear his word and have the fruit of salvation. If you are a Christian, now before that, let me just quote 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will, if you are not a Christian today, to hear the word and have the fruit of salvation. But then if you are a Christian, it is God's will for you to be set apart through his word so that you can grow and have fruit in your life. Does that make sense? It is God's will for every Christian to grow and have fruit in his life. In John 15 verse 8, let me just read these additional verses. Herein is my Father glorified, that he may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, Jesus is saying in John 15, if you want to glorify me, then have fruit in your life. You know, many people say, oh, I want to glorify God in my song, but the fruit that God is talking about is the fruit of the growth of your Christian character and souls getting saved through your life. Okay, so these are the two areas. The last verse in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9 is an important verse in our passage that we read. Jesus, at the end of this initial parable, said, who had ears to hear, let him hear. It's important because it is an invitation of Jesus for people who want to hear the word of the kingdom of God. It's an invitation. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? I'm going to talk about three things today based on this passage. Number one, the hearing. Number two, the heart. And number three, the application of this passage. Okay? Let's look at the hearing first. If you read in Matthew chapter 13, you will find in the four, we all know there are four soils. Okay, there are four soils. Okay, I'll just read through. In verse 19, if you look in Matthew chapter 13, just park it there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. The Bible says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. Verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. So in the four soils, the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground, all of them hear the word of God. If you refer to your references, Luke chapter 8 verse 18 says, Jesus said, take heed. When Jesus said, take heed, he means take heed. He means be very attentive to what I'm going to tell you next. He said, take heed how ye hear. It's not what you hear, it's how you hear. Many people hear many things from everywhere. But Jesus says, as he teach the congregation, the people who be careful how you hear. Okay? The word how you hear is important because it is not just for us to understand the content of what Jesus is saying. But what's going to happen after that? How you are going to hear? It's just like if you tell like a teacher will tell a student, can you please do your homework? Oh. But then the student goes back and comes back, where's your homework? Never do. You never hear me, man? I heard you. But did he do it? No. Because he heard the words, the content. But what's going to do with it is a different thing. And Jesus said, be careful of that. Why? Because in Luke 8, 18, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Jesus says, you know what? There are some of you here who really want to grow in Christ. You get something from this message. This is what Jesus said. Because you are coming with the Lord. I'm being careful how I hear. I'm going to hear carefully. Some of you are taking down notes. Some of you are maybe, you may not, you prefer to take down notes because it help you to focus. Some of you help you to stay awake. Other people, through listening, they can actually get it. But Jesus says, be careful how you hear, because if you have, I'm going to give you more. But you know, Jesus also gave the negative. You know, in this world, say, oh, don't talk about the negative. Jesus gives negatives because he needs us to make that choice. Because he says, and whosoever hath not. In other words, you come to today and say, yeah, I'm just going to listen. Doesn't going to affect me. From him shall be taken away. Taken even that which he seems to have. When a person comes without the heart to hear, you know what God says? You may have some. Over time, I'm going to take that away too. In other words, the information that you have begin to diminish. How many of you have driving license but have not driven for more than 5 years? Put out your hand. 10 years? 20 years? would you say, now, I'll give you the keys to a car. Would you dare to drive? Maybe in skill learning, through refresher, you can still get it. But you know what? My wife has a higher diploma in computer science. Right? Computer studies, right? If she go to work today, that was 20 years ago. She's not going to be able to function. Okay, I was called up for reservist training, believe it or not, this year. Last year, the colonel was saying, hey, you come now, then we can know the CPF and all that kind of thing. He said, sir, even if you call me back, I don't know what to do anymore because things have changed so much. What I had last time, you know, the army has changed so much. What I had last time, the last time I went to reserve was 15 years ago, right? What I had last time is obsolete now. Christians, when we don't have a heart to hear, whatever you have will become obsolete. That's what Jesus is saying. But you know, it goes further. In Matthew 25, let's turn there. There's an important principle for every Christian to understand. Matthew 25, 29. Because in relationship, the same principle applies. When we hear not properly, it affects our faith and our service for God. In Matthew 25, 29, in the parable of the talents, for unto everyone, Jesus said, at the end of the whole parable, he says, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance from him. The one that serves God more, God's going to give him more opportunities. Why? Because he's growing. He's growing. As you go to a company, you work, the boss recognizes your experience, your hard work, I'm going to give him more. I'm going to promote him. I think he can, and I'm going to pay him more too. I'm going to reward him more. And of course, you'll take it. Of course, then you have a team to help you. Okay, you're good. Okay, let's give him more. That's what Jesus said, okay? But from him that hath not, shall be taken away even that which he hath. That's scary. You know what it means? You know what Jesus says? To those who have shall be given even more, but those who have not. Some of us used to have a ministry. I hope that's not your position, but you know what? When we stop, God says, all right, since you stop, I'm going to take away even those which you seemeth to have. That's why Jesus says, be careful how you hear. Okay? Now, I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 2, because we need to hear. What are we supposed to hear? We're supposed to hear the word of God, of course, but in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the seven churches, and I'll just say repeatedly what Jesus spoke to the seven churches. Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, Jesus said, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 11, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 17, the same thing, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 29, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then Revelation 3, verse 6, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And verse 22, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If God repeats it seven times, we better be careful what God says. One time is enough for us to pay attention. When God repeats the same phrase seven times, and the word seven is perfect in the Bible, it means that I want every one of my children to hear what my Spirit is speaking to you through the Word of God. You know what we need to hear? We need to hear what God is speaking to our hearts today. Okay? Why is it important how we hear? Because the hearing of God's Word builds your faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a straight correlation. The hearing of God's Word builds faith. Some of us say, Raj Johnny, I don't really have faith. You know why? You're not hearing God's Word the way you should. From the Scriptures, the very direct application, some of us are not building up our faith. Why? We're not hearing the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. In God's words, can I say, is life. Look at John chapter 6, verse 63. I believe the verse is there. I think it's printed. John chapter 6, verse 63. Why is it important to hear? Because hearing God's Word builds faith. Why is it important to hear? Because in God's Word is life. In John 6, 63, the Bible says, let's read together, right? All those who are there, one, two, go. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, They are spirit and they are life. The Lord Jesus Christ told a big crowd of more than 10,000 people after he fed them the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He told them, it is the spirit that makes the word quickeneth means to make alive. Okay? It is the Holy Spirit that will make you alive. Whatever you think in your hearts, profit nothing. Your opinions doesn't matter when it comes to eternal life. And he says, the words that I speak unto you. The words that I speak unto you. In other words, when Jesus says, I am the living bread, that is life. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, that is life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. What spirit has the idea of? Alive, dunamis. Dynamic is alive. It's living. And they are life. Because when you receive the word of God into your heart, it gives you life. Okay? Now it's interesting because as I was thinking through this, let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. I just want to, for you to write down, correlate it so that you can see why the hearing of God's word is so important. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And when you think about that, the word inspiration means what? God breathed. Theonephthos in the Greek. Theos, God, nephthos, breathe. God breathed. All of the Bible is breathed by God, spoken out by God. Okay? Now, if you correlate it to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Can you see the connection? When God made man from the dust of the field, he breathed into man his life, and man became a living soul. The breath of God into man became a living soul. God spoke the word with his breath. The words that God speaks actually have life. Whatever God speaks, it has life. Remember when Jesus says to the wind and the waves, peace, be still? Do you realize there's power in what God says? Now, I need to be very careful here. I'm not into this word faith movement that people say, oh, God bless you and my words. Well, I don't believe in that. But I believe in what God has written down here. That if you will believe with all your heart, you will have life. Okay? God breathed his word. All scripture is given by the breath of God and is profitable for teaching, doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God has the life of God embedded in them to bring life to us. Some of us say, I have no meaning in life. God's word, when you would follow it, will give you meaning in life. Well, I don't know where I'm going. God's word, when you follow, will give you direction in life. Some of you are lost. You know what you need to do? You need to go to God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119 and verse 105. God is very clear. His word, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Those people who don't understand about life, God's word gives us. You know, Christian, there are 2 verses that's in there printed. In John chapter 15, verse 3, you know what Jesus says? You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Some of you may feel sinful, you may have guilt in your life, I don't know. Some of you may go through the things in this life and you find it very hard to cope and you feel perhaps you've blown it. Jesus says you can be clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Then in John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. But thy word is true. Set them apart, Lord. That's what he's praying. When a man does not want to hear the word of God, or he doesn't hear it in the proper way, there is no life given to that person. Number one, the hearing. Number two, this is the main crux, the 4 heart types, okay? And Jesus is saying this as he began his preaching ministry. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. The sower represents the Son of God. As he sows the word, the sower, the way they sow in Israel is this. When they go to plant, they don't, if you plant rice, you have to stoop down one by one. Whereas in the ancient times when they sow, they will grab the seed and they will scatter. Okay? They will scatter. And it is inevitable that when you scatter the seed, it will land at different places. Okay? And Jesus said, the seed represents the Word of God. And this seed is going to land on four different types of soil. And we're going to look at that because there are four different types of soil sitting down here, right now. And this, it is so essential for us to take note of this because I want to show you a timeless truth from Matthew 13. The soil represents your heart. The condition of your heart determines the fruitfulness of your Christian life. I say again, the condition in which you receive the Word of God will determine the fruitfulness of your Christian life. Because it is clearly illustrated in Jesus' parable. I'm going to talk about that. The four soils. Number one, the wayside. Okay? In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Now, what is the wayside? What is the wayside? The wayside is defined as the site of a piece of land. Okay, let's pretend this is the land. The wayside is the site of the piece of land. An example, you know, in Malaysia, in some of these countries you go, they usually have like plots of land that they plow, right? Then in between, there's this place that the farmer can go through to water the plant. That's called the wayside. Okay, the site of a plowed land, a piece of land. That place, the farmer can go and put the fertilizer, but oftentimes, further than that, it is generally also a place. Now listen, this is important. The wayside is also a place where the condition of the wayside is generally neglected, is uncared for, and trampled on. It is something that in Singaporean Hokkien term we say we bocha. That's the wayside. Okay, that's the wayside. It is clear from Matthew 13:4, when the sower sowed the seeds, it fell by the wayside, the fowls came and devoured them. Now, Brother Johnny, what does it mean? Jesus interprets it for us. In verse 19, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 13, you can stay in the chapter, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, referring to Satan, and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Two things happen for this wayside heart. Okay? Two things happen. Number one, the word of God was given to the individual who has a wayside heart. He heard it. Number one, he did not understand it. That's what the Bible said. He did not understand the word. He didn't understand it. And as a result, the devil came and snatched the word that was sown in his heart. The word understanding here is important. Please follow along. This is so important. The word understand here means to put together, to integrate the information so that you appreciate what someone is saying. Do you understand? Do you understand? Not yet. Okay, so that's where the dad has to pay attention and teach you. Okay? Okay, that's okay. So he hasn't understood. So it's important for dads to integrate that information. Can I say one thing? Parents, as we teach the word to our children, ensure understanding. Because if it's not understood, Satan's going to come and snatch it away from their hearts. Okay? Because the Bible says the ways are, that individual did not understand. And so when a person do not understand, it means that they do not mentally appreciate what God is trying to say. Example, when I preach, when I say sin is absolutely sinful, the wayside of heart will say, yeah, okay. I don't understand. Well, what do you mean by sin is sinful? Ah, never mind. You know, I prefer to play my game. That's called a bochap heart. You know? And so that person don't understand the full implication of that. But you know what? The meaning of understand goes a bit further. This was an eye-opener for me. I want us to pay attention. Okay, if you are doing something else, rather than focusing, I want you to really listen to this. Because there are many people who will die and go to a devil's hell because it persists in their uncared for heart. In Matthew, Jesus actually explained the understanding, no understanding part in Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 to 15. Listen to what he says. Jesus says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables." After saying the parable, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why speakest thou to us in parables? Why not speak to us plainly?" Jesus explained why. In Matthew 13, "I speak to them in parables because they seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand." The word understand there is the same word in verse 19, the same word in verse 4. The word understand there means to be wise and then to act consistent with that information. I say again, verse 4, understand, is the same meaning as Jesus said in verse 13, is the same meaning as verse 19. It means to be wise, understanding. Oh, now I know how to do 1 plus 1 equals to 2. Okay? And Jesus is saying, these people, they don't understand. Why don't they understand? Verse 14 is because of prophecy. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, "By hearing ye shall not hear, ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." In the auditory system, in the hearing system, we have the ears. Okay? We have, after the ears is what? The eardrum. After the eardrum, going into the ear is what? The whole hearing system. Okay? And this is just a physical state, whereby they transmit all these things. Do you realize after the hearing, the words come in, they have to send the information up here? Okay? Which means, there are some people who have what are called conductive hearing loss, meaning that they can hear here, but they don't understand what they're hearing. Sorry, it is called auditory perception disorder. There was one really fat girl, she's actually, that I saw 20 years ago in a clinic. It was interesting, and I was under the supervision of my senior therapist, and she was the one who taught me this. She, for a few weeks, as she was looking at this big, chubby girl, why? She don't seem to understand what parents' instructions were. And because she's quite senior, 10, 15 years as a speech therapist, it dawned on her that this girl could hear, but it doesn't go to the brain. It's called auditory perceptual disorder, meaning that he can hear, he don't understand. This is exactly what Isaiah hear. The people can hear the preaching of Isaiah, but they don't hear the heart of God. They can hear the preaching of Isaiah to repent, but they don't want to do it. Why it doesn't go up to their heads and their hearts? But I believe verse 15 is a very telling verse. For this people's heart, why are they hearing and don't understand? This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Now that's active. In other words, the people in Isaiah's time, when they heard Isaiah's preaching, the Bible says their heart is waxed. You know what it means, waxed gross? The word waxed gross means having a thick layer of fat. Okay? Also, can you tickle me here? Yeah, can you stand up? You also. You're smiling already. Can I tickle again? See, I got a layer of fat. It insulates his tickle, but when. Well, he's quite okay actually, he's controlling himself. Okay? Are there? See? He doesn't have a layer of fat. Okay? And children, don't do that to your dads, okay? Okay, when you come to the age, I remember, whatever you do to him, you'll get it next time. Okay, anyway. So, when I insulate. So my daughter likes to do that to me, okay? When I do that to her, and this is the daughter, I do that to her, she say, "Papa, don't, Papa, don't." Okay, I actually have to make a vow not to do that to her. Because every time she will, you know, even before I touch her, she like that already. You know why? You get sensitive. You know what God says? You know how God, you know why some people cannot hear? They have a layer of fat in their hearts that God's word cannot get through. Number one. Number two, they are dull of hearing. When they hear the word of God, they are more interested, Listen, they're more interested in Googling during messages. They're more interested in other things rather than the Word of God. They're dull of hearing. But you know one more thing which is really heartbreaking? The Bible says they have closed. Sorry, their eyes have they closed. You know, it's interesting because it's a deliberate choice. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear what's spoken. That's the wayside heart. Because Jesus goes on to say, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. You know what Jesus is saying? If I'm going to receive this word, I know I'm responsible for what I hear. I know of people who say, I'm not going to ambassador because I know when I'm there, God's going to convict my heart. You can sit here with that same attitude. I'm not going to listen. I'm just here. That's a wayside heart. That's a backslidden heart for a Christian. That you will come, but you go up the same way you come in, no change. That's why there was no fruit. That's the wayside heart. There are two reasons why they do not want to hear. There are two reasons why they do not want to hear. According to Jesus, they know that if they hear, they will need to make a change. And their life is too comfortable. They want to stay where they are. But no, there's another reason why they want to hear. Therefore, it's intentional. There are another reasons why they don't want to hear. They're not saved. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. The word receive there means the natural man don't welcome God's word. I'm going to listen. Have you ever tried to share the gospel with someone and they don't seem to get it? Worse still, they don't want to get it. They will tell you, whenever we go tracking, it's always happened, I'm very busy now. They push it aside. When it's church, when it's about the gospel, when Jesus, they push it aside. You know what's a sad thing? Christians do that too. You know why? They are not caring for their heart, the wayside heart. And that's why Jesus says, there is no fruit. The heart is not ready to hear because the individual have allowed the heart to be thickened, to get tired of hearing God's word. You know? And they have shut down the heart so that they cannot understand. They cannot hear the word of God, not because of the surrounding, not because of the presentation of the word, not because of the preacher, but it's an issue with the heart. And therefore, they cannot understand and they do not want to understand. That is the backslidden heart. It was a cold winter Sunday. There was an old church which was conducting a service. Many people could not come, including the preacher. The pastor couldn't come. It was just too snowy. Okay? There were few people, there were about 15, 20 people that day, and one young man came back, sat at the back, and the deacon saw, hey, the pastor's not going to be on time, man. I've got to do something. So the deacon actually took the place of the pastor and preached. I read the autobiography. The minister did not come that morning. He was snowed up, I supposed. At last, a very thin-looking man, a shoemaker or tailor or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. But it is well that preachers be instructed. But this man was really stupid. This person who wrote this testimony said, I was there to listen, and this deacon came out to preach. But I would at least expect people to preach to have some understanding. But this guy was really stupid. That's what he wrote in his testimony. But he was obliged to stick with his text. For the simple reason that he had nothing else to say. You just kind of circulated around the train. But you know what? The verse in Isaiah 45 was, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye the ends of the earth. And so this preacher kept going around and around for about 10 minutes. And this person who wrote, he did not even pronounce the words rightly. But that did not matter to this person who wrote. There was, I thought, a glimmer of hope for me in that verse. That day, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived got saved because a stupid preacher told him, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." That's when Charles Haddon Spurgeon got saved, because of a stupid preacher who cannot even mutter the words properly. God sent light because Spurgeon was seeking the truth. You see, if God can use donkeys, He can use me, amen. If God can use Balaam the donkey, He can use anyone. But how are you receiving the word today? It's not about the surrounding, it's about you. It's how are you receiving God's word today? Number one. Number two, the stony ground. Number one is a wayside ground. Number two is a stony ground. Okay? In the stony ground, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 5, some fell upon stony places which had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Now, this stony places is a ground, a little bit of soil, but you know what? Generally, it's very stony. Okay? Now, I was reading and studying it, and it seems that seed can spring up in different types of soil. That's why it sprung up. Seed can spring up. Any kind of soil can spring up. But you know, as he spring up, the seed has to dig in to find sources of water. Okay? However, because it's stony, the seeds can't penetrate through to have deep roots. And so when the sun shines, because there was not enough moisture going up to the seed, by and by it just withers away, it dies. And the Bible is very clear in Matthew chapter 19, verse 20, 21, "But he that receiveth seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it." What? Oh, amen! Yes, I want to be a Christian, amen! And when you see the setting and people are excited, yes, I want to be a Christian too. But yet had he not rooted in himself. In fact, in the book of Luke, it said, having no deepness of root. In other words, he was excited for the moment. But you know, something came in. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, "But dureth for a while." In other words, he continues as a Christian, he's on fire, da-da-da, and... But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. This is a Christian I want to be saved, and he got saved. Next, well, he the believer and he's baptized. You mean I have to be baptized? Yeah? That's what the Bible says. Do you know? If you have genuine faith, baptism is not a problem. It's just like if you just sign a contract for a company. Oh, I need you to wear this badge. No problem, just put the badge on, right? I need to wear this uniform. Yeah, I'll just wear the uniform. Well, you need to come at 8 o'clock. Oh, I'll come at 8 o'clock. Right? This is your remuneration. Well, okay, I think you should pay more, but okay, I'll accept that. Okay? Or you need to work from 8 to 5. Okay, I'll finish at 5. We would listen to our bosses more than the Word of God sometimes. But when the Word of God comes in, the Bible says when the Word of God comes in, the Bible says when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he gets offended. What? You want me to give? You want me to make time? I'll give a whole 45 minutes on Sunday to come already there. What do you mean? You want me to extend myself? He gets offended. He gets stumbled. You know, I was studying this, and there was one particular author who said this, which I thought is very true. How many of you have never gone through trial before? Put up your hand. Or have, right? How many of you have never gone through troubles before in your life? Put up your hand. You know what Jesus is indicating? The trial and the persecution or the opposition to your faith is common for Christians. It's common. It's a common thing. Why is it then, therefore, that some Christians can stand, some Christians cannot? This is an important difference. Jesus also tells us, or the apostles tells us, that for trials as a Christian, it is not heavy. Let's read a few verses. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, I believe it's printed there, Paul says, "For our light affliction." The trials that come to the Apostle Paul as he served God was just a light affliction, which is but for a moment, 短暂的一个试探, short-term problem. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. Do you realize the very trials you go through as a Christian are the same trials non-believers go through? How many of you have experienced retrenchment before? Honestly. Amen! See? God's so good to us, right? No retrenchment. I don't know. Did you? Maybe retrenchment because you want to. That's a different thing. Okay? But you know, the non-believers go through retrenchment too. How many of you have gone through a time that you have difficulties perhaps paying your bills? Or how many of you had no sickness in your life? Put up your hand. We all have. So do the non-believers. So do the non-believers. Why is it that when the trials come to the Christians, we fall away from the faith? That's what Jesus is referring to. In 1 Corinthians 10, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men, and men in general, not Christians only. Okay? But you know what God says, but God is faithful. Amen? So that means even in your trial, God is faithful. Why? Because He will not allow you to be tested above that you can take it. No teacher would set a Sec 4 exam for a Sec 1 pupil unless you are a gifted program or, you know, PSLE, they give you some other Sec 2 work and that kind of thing, okay? There's a difference. But generally, you'll be tested on what you learn for that level, yes? That's what God does. Now, why am I driving there? In 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who had called you unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that ye have suffered a while. Not suffered a whole life, but a while. Because our lifetime of 70 years is nothing compared to the eternity. It's just a while. So I hope to be able to share with you that when Jesus says, when tribulation or persecution is just a short while, all trials. But you know, for the Christian who have a stony ground, when they hear the word of God, they immediately are so excited about the truth. But because they were not prepared to let God's word, they had a lot of stones that block the deepness of word. Do you know what blocks that? Let me explain. It's very interesting. The reason why they fall is because they do not even resist the trial. They do not even fight against the trial. Rather, they give in and die. The Christian life is a fight. You know, as I was meditating on this, I realized this. Baptism is the first trial every Christian will go through. If you are not willing to be baptized, you will never grow as a Christian. Never. Why? Because that is the trial of your faith. You've got to tell your parents, I want to be baptized. You siao ah. Huh? Some of the parents will say that. Or maybe as a grown up, my mother better, what am I going to do? I have to be committed to the Lord's work. Or people may begin to then say, why? Why must I do all this? I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, okay, why? No, when you are joined to Christ, God wants us to follow Him to grow. And that's where the Word of God, as we begin to learn it, will begin to start cutting through into your life and say, remember I gave you the illustration that every one of us have 10 rooms. When you receive Jesus Christ, you open one room. What about the other 9 rooms? Are you willing to let Jesus have the key to every room of your life? To your friendship room? To your internet room? To your school room? And then, Lord, any room you come, Lord, you want me to baptize? Sure thing, Lord. But you're going to baptize, you're going to have the opposition of your friends. It's okay, Lord. You know, Christians, this stony heart means a person who hears God's word, according to what Jesus said, when they are told to do certain things based on God's word, they stumble. They don't want to follow. Their growth stops there. That's what Jesus said, there's no fruit. And by, it withers. It withers. You know, for Mother's Day, we got a flower for my wife and, you know, my daughter, that's a joy, is diligently like pouring in. We even tried to put Panadol in. Then we read in the internet, we wanted to make sure that, you know, is it true that you put Panadol, the plants can grow better? Does anyone have any flourish? Is it true? Anyone? I heard somewhere, I wanted to put ready. I said, wait. Multi of counselors at safety. So I go and ask Uncle Google. And some say, no, that's a prank or whatever. So in the end, I say, better don't. Okay? But anyway, after one whole week, thank God some of the roses are still bright. You know, some of them are ready already. You know what we did with the work? We threw it out. I don't know the deepest of earth. There was no stone inside the glass anyway. But you know, the reason why Christians, when we immediately we receive the word, but then when the trials come, when God says you are required to obey based on this, and you say, why must I? We're offended by the word. For whatever reason. And when Satan comes with a trial and says, you want to be a Christian, are you sure or not? Your first trial, like I said, is your baptism. Number two, you know, as you decide, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ, I'm going to make my family right for God, you know what? You're going to have trials in your life. Can I say this? I believe with all my heart. Trials is God's way of testing your faith. When I first surrendered to preach in the ministry, those who know, my first trial was being sued for what I said based on God's word. And you know what? That was very frightening because it could be losing everything that we have. And I had the impression in my heart, I was just praying and thinking. And the impression was this: Johnny, do you believe what you say? Do you believe what you preach? Say, yes, Lord. And what's your problem? No, God encouraged me. My wife then walked in and said, even if you have to sell the house, we'll stand for what is right. What? Let's say when your wife is behind you, nothing will stop me. And that's when, by God's grace, the very church that wanted to sue us are in trouble now. And I saw that, God, thank you for leading me through that trial. Christians, will you fall over and die just because God says you must be baptized? Will you fall over and die just because you don't have not enough money for 1 week? Will you fall over and die just because I cannot do this? There's a crowd of many young Christians. Like, well, what do you mean? What is wrong with this? Will we fall over and die just because God requires us to be holy? Will we fall over and die? Will our leaf wither? That's a stony ground. James 4 verse 7. Let me just read those two verses. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to resist the devil. In other words, when you're tempted to sin, say, God, firstly, I surrender to you. And God, I'm not going to do that. That's resistance. When you feel like I'm not going to attend church anymore, and say, no, that's not right. That's resistance. Because you're willing to obey God rather than what you feel. In 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, this world, by the way, the LGBT crowd and all the wrong philosophies of the world is going to capture you. Are you going to stand fast? Some of you will not be in church in 3 years' time. You know why? Because you fall over and die. Because when God's word says to resist steadfast in the faith, young people, we went through just a whole camp of what? Earnestly contend for the faith. We want to see in 5 years' time, which one of you will still remain faithful to God? Don't have a stony ground. Remember, a Christian who don't resist in his mind, in his heart, the influences of the world will fall over and die. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, when you see the wrong philosophies coming, immediately, God, I submit to you, teach me. I will be in FBI. I will make sure I will grow myself in God's word that I can resist. Or otherwise, I have a stony ground. And you know what? We will never grow. Okay, so the wayside heart, the stony ground. No, I'm laboring the point. Because maybe at this point, as pastor, I'm concerned that we be disciples of God's word. That we hear God with the proper heart. So I'm laboring the point. Number three, the thorny ground. Now this is an interesting one. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Going to Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. If you cross-reference to Mark 4, 19, Mark actually adds one more thing. He says, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word. And that heart becometh unfruitful. Luke 8, 14 goes in another way. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity, to perfection. Oh, this person welcomes the word just like the others into the heart. You come into the church, say, amen, I thank God for preaching of God's word. When you go home, hey, what time finish? My Chinese cereal at 7 p.m. I need to watch. And some of us, during messages, will play games. I hope it's not true of you. The pleasures of you, that's why it chokes you. That's why you're not growing. That's why Jesus makes it clear. Three things stop God's word in the life of a Christian. Number one, the cares of this world. Then maybe you're sitting there and saying, God, what am I going to do? Tomorrow I have this project I have to do. Cares of this world. Oh, I haven't cooked yet or something. Number two, the deceitfulness of riches. Well, what time my appointment? What time? It overwhelms our hearts. And number three, the lusts and the pleasures of this life. Young people, sometimes you are into gaming, going on the computers to see things not supposed to see, and play things that take up your time. No wonder you're not pushing forward in your Christian life. Because you see, when you receive the word of God into your heart, but the Bible says, and other things entering in, pleasures, cares, deceitfulness of riches come in. The word of God want to push out, cannot, because all blocked. It's all over the place. And actually all these things becomes a priority. And so the Lord Jesus says, these things come in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know, God says, Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33, let me just turn there, right? Turn there, and then I want you to see, we talk about it all the time, but see in the context of what Jesus is saying, when it comes to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, is it wrong to serve God and be rich? No. But it depends on where your heart is. Is it to be rich or to serve God? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore take no thought. In other words, the phrase is, don't worry. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. I think I was sharing, I think it's with the youth or something, I can't remember. And I was thinking through this. Do you realize who Jesus was speaking to in Matthew chapter 6? He was speaking to people who cannot even provide for themselves. The very poor people. And yet he tells them, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your drink. Don't worry about your clothing. Rajani, we live in Singapore. Eh? I know. I learned a lot yesterday from the financial principles. You know, do you need cash? Remember? Rad Desmond was sharing. And I learned very much. Do you know how rich Desmond is? Do you know how rich he is? Do you know, in measuring individually of all the people in this world, he's in the top 0.1%, right, of this world's richest people. Apparently, there's this this one. So, my own Bak Chu Kim Kim already. Or open eyes. I think it was kind of an app or a program or something that you should insert your income, right? And then they will measure you against all the people in this world. Literally anyone. And here is 0.1% at the top richest people in this world. But he did qualify, like, it's not like the Forbes this, you know, the kind of thing. It's not that. Like. But you know what? As I was listening to that, if you put our ourselves in the perspective of this world. Do you realize how rich Singaporeans are? Children eat more, have more pocket money in 1 week than I have in 3 months. Last time I remember in primary one, my mommy only gave me 40 cents. Now, of course, exchange rates, I mean the inflation, all that, we have to put in the account. But you know what? Going to sake sushi today, $20 and one meal for a school student is not too expensive. You know what? In Singapore, you know what's the culture? Study hard, earn more money, live for yourself. And I totally agree, Brother Desmond, when he said, do you realize a lot of advertisements are being sent out to make you discontented with what you have? Oh, like I said, you need a holiday, right? How many of you say you need a holiday? No one there to put up your hand. Oh, you need this new condo. I think there's a new one in Gems, right? Wow, they even provide... What? I don't know what special pet. What? Yeah, they even bring... What? You need that kind of life, man. In 1980, I still remember my civics teacher teach me the Hong Kong syndrome. What's a Hong Kong syndrome? How many of you know what's a Hong Kong syndrome? Hong Kong syndrome is a... This pen from Novotel is not good enough. It must be Schaefer. You know a Schaefer? Parker? What do you know? You're younger. Basically, Montblanc. I'm a bug. This pen is not good enough. It must be a... I had a friend who had four stores in Lucky Plaza last time. His dad had four stores. He told me that the Japanese tourists come in will not buy a $9 keychain. It must be above $100. Then they will buy. I said, wow, good like that. You know? And everything they jack up, $100 more. Just called the Hong Kong syndrome. Last time in 1980, I don't know what they call it now. That means a simple pen like that is not good enough. Going to the hawker center is not good enough. It must have aircon. It must... Nowadays, they even have... You pay, they have a machine to give you the change. And all this have to be high-tech. But you know what? The pursuit of the riches of this life. Many Christians come in hearing God's word. When they go out, the stress of their work, the pursuit of riches and promotion, nothing wrong with all that. But you know what God says still? Seek ye first. Jesus, put it in context, Jesus is speaking to one of the poorest people in the Jewish nation. He said, as you are concerned about your food, your drink, and your clothing, don't worry, God will take care of that. You put my kingdom first. And this author was saying, when you put God's kingdom first, everything will fall into place. Amen? Everything. Yes, in the mission field, when you serve full time, there will be stresses. But I can tell you, for Brother So and Mrs. So, they've seen God answer prayer all the time. You know why? They're not doing it in their own strength, they're in God's strength. And when we depend on God, God's going to provide everything. We've got one more, and that's a good ground. Okay, the good ground. I know, but I hope you all will pay attention because it's an important one. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it goes on to actually add to some of the active ingredients to how we can have good ground. But that on the good ground are they which are an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And the seed fell upon good ground. And the source, the good ground actually had the following ingredient. Number one, he has an honest heart. It's open, it's sincere, it's transparent, it's willing. The idea of honest, it doesn't mean 诚实 only. Okay, it doesn't mean just being honest. It means I'm willing. Tell me, I'm willing. It's very open. You cannot. There's nothing to hide. What you see is what you get. I'm thankful there are some Christians who come. Pastor, just tell me everything I need to know. What? I'll just give it to them. But the person will just lap it up. Why? Honest and open heart. It's good. Has the idea a heart that is ready to do good and do the right thing. A heart that's willing to keep the word in obedience. The word keep means to seize it, to grab it, and will not let it go and treat it as important. Let me ask you a question. Do you treat God's word as important? If right now, as we scan across, you need to make a thermometer measuring in your heart, how important is God's word to me? This word, this good ground that produces fruit, is God, your word is most important. That's the one that will grow. It will grow. And all with patience. In other words, whatever it takes to grow the word of God in his life, the believer is willing. The application, I just quickly go because of time. The application. We've heard the hearing, we talk about the heart, the application. The beginning of God's kingdom in your heart always starts with the word of God. The problem is not with the soul of the word, but with the heart. That's what Jesus is saying. Because the seed will always be the seed of the word. When the word of God is sown, the four soils will show itself through its fruitfulness. That means if the soil is ready, it will bring forth fruit. If the soil is stony, if the soil is thorny, if the soil is the wayside, it will not produce fruit. Does that make sense? It's very simple what Jesus is teaching. The four soils will manifest itself through, it may be callous and hardened and unwilling, or it may only thrive when things are easy, or when things get hard, the stones in the heart prevent God's word from going down deep into the heart and loses its roots. Then the thorny ground is clogged with the things of this world, and the seed of God's word become ineffective. The only heart that is fruitful is when the heart is willing, open, sincere, and preserves and keeps the word. And when the tough times come, it is willing to endure it with cheerful endurance so that the fruit of Christ's character and service can develop in the individual. I read that again. The only heart that is fruitful is when the heart is willing, open, sincere, and preserves and keeps the word. And when the tough times come, it is willing to endure it with cheerful endurance so that the fruit of Christ's character and service can develop in the individual. So how do we prepare? There are a few verses there. I'll just quickly go through. Hosea 10 verse 12. How do we prepare? Now this is the ending part. How do we then have our hearts ready? Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It is a do-it-yourself project. Between you and God, you have to say, God, I'm sorry, I have a stony ground. Lord, I'm sorry, I have a thorny ground. Lord, I'm sorry, I broke up. But now, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm starting to break up my fallow ground. Lord, I want your word. I want your word. Break up the fallow ground. Jeremiah 4, verse 3 and 4. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Don't throw don't put the thorns away from the cares and the lusts and the pleasures away now. What must I do to prepare my heart for the word? Number one, repent of your sin of neglect. If you're a Christian, you need to repent of your sin of neglect. You've neglected to prepare your heart for God's word. You've neglected. One of the ways you can prepare, if you want to, I give you this as an illustration. Jonathan Edwards. How many of you know Jonathan Edwards? Yeah? Jonathan Edwards was a man of God in the 16th century. By 6 p.m. Saturday evening, all activities ceased in his household. From 6 p.m. to about 10 p.m., they do nothing but prayer, reading God's word to prepare their hearts for Sunday. Oh, Brother Johnny, that's hard. I know it's hard. How do you then prepare for Sunday? Some of us watch movies on Sundays. Some of us watch different things. How do you prepare your heart for God's word? Some of you will play computer games too late and then come half asleep. Do we prepare? We're not ready to receive God's word. I was talking to a brethren, we need some fear of God in our lives, that way before we come for service, we'll say, Lord, prepare my heart for your word. Prepare, Lord, my heart to receive your word. We need to repent of the sin of neglect. We need to get rid of the fact that I'm not going to, as much as we can, we don't plan things. So if you're supposed to attend a wedding, I know that sometimes you do have to go, but you know what, you still make preparation in some way to prepare for God's word. Wake up early, perhaps, to pray. We need to repent of the sin of neglect. Number two, get rid of sin in your life. What's a sin in your life? Neglect? Other things? Because God says, Psalm 66, verse, if I regard sin in my heart, God will not hear me. When there's sin in the heart, God's word cannot grow. You need to get rid of sin. Is it pride, selfishness? Is it yourself versus God's self or God's word? When you go home from here, would you start a time and say, Lord, I'm sorry I haven't been praying. I'm sorry I haven't been reading my word, your word. Lord, I'm sorry I haven't been looking to Jesus in dependence on Him. Lord, in my work, I'm always thinking about how I can progress, but I've never considered your work. I've never considered what your kingdom is. I've never considered what is right in your eyes, Lord. I'm sorry. You need to repent. Because unless you get rid of sin in your life, both the sin of commission, meaning that things you do that you know you're not supposed to do, and the sin of you know what you're supposed to do and you're not doing, that's sin, the sin of omission. And unless you get rid of that sin, your heart will never receive God's word. Because God says, I cannot hear you. We can come out with a shell of Christianity, having the form of godliness, but we don't have that power. We need to get rid of that sin in our lives. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, you need to give God your heart. My son, give me thine heart. You give God your heart. You give God your heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. It refers to God's word again. And number four, prayerfully prepare your heart before you come to God's word. At any time. It could be in the morning when you read the Bible. You know, even before you read the Bible, I know sometimes I'm guilty, you know, I know the first thing I will wake up without brushing my teeth, washing my face, I open God's Word and say, I think I'm going to wash my face first. Because I can't concentrate. I heard one preacher once that he makes sure that before he goes God's Word, he makes sure he wash his face, brush his teeth, have a cup of coffee and drink it as he's reading because he wants to be fully alert when he reads the Bible. Do we prepare our hearts to read God's Word? Do we prepare our hearts to come for Sunday school? I'm sorry. As members, Sunday school is so important. For where do you get your instruction of God's word? Why is it that we don't come? I'm going to drop that gently, but firmly. I don't think it is excusable for a Christian to escape, or rather not put that as priority of God's word. But you know what? I can only admonish, you have to make that choice. You need to make that choice. Prayerfully prepare your heart before you come to hear God's word. Ezra 7 verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. What God says in his word. And then attend to God's word. Acts 17, 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. These people, you know, when they come to hear Paul preach or anyone preach, they came with full willingness to hear what God says. They were very happy that there's a word of God preached. And they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. When they say they welcome the word with readiness of mind, doesn't mean they just accept everything. They accept, they thank God for the word, they thank the preacher or whoever. You know, I go back, they search. Is that true? Huh? Oh, okay, I need to clarify this. Lord, speak to me. And they will always have that positive, encouraging attitude and say, God, teach me your word. Teach me your word. And finally, aim to obey. The key to producing fruit is your willingness to obey. You can do all these things, but you don't obey, you will still not produce fruit. You want to learn to write unless you pick up the pencil and write. And Christians, you need to decide which heart you have today. Is it a heart that is wayside? Okay. I'm just going to go back and do all I want. I plead with you not to do that. You will waste your entire life as a Christian. Or are you the heart that is stony, whereby when it comes to only the convenient things you do, but the inconvenient things you will give reasons and excuses not to do it, you will not have fruit too. Or is it thorny ground that, Lord, you know, Brother Johnny, you need to understand I've got this and this and this and this and this and this. My counsel to you is, what about God? Would you give those reasons? It's very simple. If you think that God will accept those reasons, you give it to Him. I'll accept the reason. But God says the lust of this, the pleasures of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cares of this will block God's word from growing. You will not grow. But can I encourage you to have the good ground? Honest and say, Lord, I'm weak, you are strong. And you know what? Jesus wants us to have that kind of heart. And when Jesus was preaching, he was scattering the... See, he was telling these people, look, I cannot force you, but I'm telling you what kind of responses you are going to have. And you know what Jesus wants us to have? That good and honest and open heart to receive God's word, who will then go through what God, whatever God teaches him, so that he will produce fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. What that simply means is that different people will have different types of fruit. No. What different levels of fruit, but you will bear fruit of some sort. And Jesus said in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, then he shall know the doctrine, whether he be of God or I speak of myself. John 13:17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know why some Christians are not happy? The goal of the Christian life is not to be happy. The goal of the Christian life is to be holy. And when you are holy, you will be happy. Because you know you are living the will of God in your life. Can I encourage us to always have the good heart when you come for Fridays, FBI, Sunday Bible Hour? Every time, even when you do your own Bible reading, have that good heart. If there's really some thorns, or if you say, I would have, repent of those and say, God, I don't want that anymore. I want to grow. And I pray that this series of looking at discipleship, I've made a decision in my heart as pastor, I don't play games anymore. If there's something wrong, I'm going to correct it as pastor. We cannot have people that don't come for Sunday Bible. When there's an opportunity for the Word of God, it reflects your heart. God wants us to get back to Him. Let's do business with God. Let's fear Him and say, Lord, Your Word is so precious that God, wherever it is preached, I'll be there. I thank God for you know, when I got news that they got 7 messages in one day, it's like, I remember those times in Australia when the evangelists will come and we have night and day preaching. Christians in Ambassador don't ever get tired of God's word. The world will get tired. We cannot. Because it is life. And you will have no Christian life if you have no God's word. Okay, let's close in with our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I know I've gone a bit longer today. But yet, Lord, forgive us. Sometimes, many times, our neglect of your word. Heavenly Father, change us. Change us from inside to love you and your word above all. Help us, Lord, to have the good heart, the good ground. I'm thankful for brothers and sisters who daily plow the word, daily read the word, that the fruit of righteousness and love and the character of Jesus Christ will slowly but surely be added to their life and character as they read the word, as they allow your word, as they make decisions daily. Oh God, I'm thinking of people who would labor in the word and yet, Lord, facing trials in their lives. And I'm praying that the word of God will be their anchor point. And that despite the trials and tribulations and persecutions they come, they will hang on to your word. Because your word is a lamp and a light. And you promise those, Lord, who would hear your word and obey it, our house will be built strongly when the storms and the winds come. But Father, I pray for those who are struggling with accepting your word as it is. And I'm praying, Lord, that you will build the faith of this people. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray even as I did a short invitation that you open the hearts of the people. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask, as pastor, is there someone who said, Lord, pastor, God has identified what heart I am and I want to change by God's grace. Would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that hand. Say some amen at hand to. Amen at hand to. Let's put it up, put it down. Pray in your heart. I don't know your heart. I just want to pray for you. Or is there someone else? Will God help my heart to always be open and honest? Is there someone else? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for the hands that have gone up. Heavenly Father, I pray that the good and honest heart will always be the character of these brethren who have pulled up their hands. That day by day, as they read your word, Lord, they're going to come to your word believing that you will speak to them through your precious word. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in our hearts so that we will accept your word with readiness of mind. Oh Lord, I pray that as a church we will take your word seriously. The times are coming, Lord, when people are no longer interested in your word. But Father, as your people, we want to be. And so, Lord, I commit once again the brethren that put up their hands, that you would work in their hearts to make sure God's word always take root in their hearts. And they will understand it as you want them to understand it. And the Holy Spirit will always be their teacher. And they will know every time they read the word that your Holy Spirit is there to teach them. And they will grow from it. And Lord, not only that, may their character reflect the growth. For the rest of us, some of us may be struggling. Lord, I know that you will work with us tenderly. And I'm praying, Father, you help us to constantly, Lord, always put you first, even in this. Help us to have a heart for your word, because it is a heart of our Christian faith. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's then just sing. Amen. Let's have a little prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly, knowing, Lord, we cannot make any change without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot have any change in our lives unless we depend on you 100%. So, Lord, I pray in our experience this week with you as we read your precious word and pray, as we seek your face, as we give you our hearts, I pray you speak to us through your word in a special way. I pray that the relationship with Christ will be so sweet. Father, if there's one person who do not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I beg of you to open that heart to your word. That, Lord, they will be honest with themselves and with you that they need a Savior. Yeah, they may have their own thoughts, they may have their own opinions, but yet, Lord, faced with the claims and the promises of the Bible, I pray they will make an honest and the right response. That, Father, they will put trust in the King of Kings, or more than anything, the Savior of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he gave all so that we can have eternal life. So, Lord, I pray especially for those who put up their hands. May they leave this place, Lord, with a heart full of love for you and your word. And may they set time aside to read and to always jot down the things that you teach them. And may their lives reflect the sweetness and the purity of a holy God. And may their ministry be powerful in whatever area they go. May they be a blessing to everyone they meet because of Jesus in their hearts. Because of your word. I pray, Lord, for the rest of us, we also pray that you help us to love your precious word as it is, the pure word of God, given to us that we might have life. Bless the fellowships that we're going to have, the meetings. May all that we say and do, Lord, honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.